from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You gotta go to the extreme on a Monday after a Steelers game, even when it's the preseason, to want to start with something else. And so, the Pirates are either going to have to shock the world and sweep the first place Dodgers to get here, or what actually ended up happening.
Not shock the world and bottom out.
Another sweep. They've lost 7 in a row. They've lost 9 of 10. The Pirates are the coldest team in baseball. They are the worst team in baseball in the month of August. And the irony is, Chris, I thought that, and by the way, Donnie will host at 6 in his old stomping grounds over at Dino's tonight, so that's why we've got intern Dom with us here. Intern Dom already has something ginned up for later in the show. Intern Don is something that I think is going to create amazing content on our social media pages. Intern Dom is prepared at some point during the 4-hour show to do a facsimile, an exact replica, duplicate, of what we saw the Australian breakdancer do.
Really?
He believes he has memorized the moves. Yes. And he thinks he can perform much like her for our audience later in the show.
Would you say Ray Gun is your idol? She basically did performance art, and you did that at the hot dog eating contest where you calmly ate one hot dog in 10 minutes.
That's true. Also, Pony, I never said that, so I don't know what you're talking about.
He's lying, of course. He's a little bit embarrassed now, and he thinks I'm overselling, and he's going to underdeliver, but yeah.
Even if you are lying, Dom has never earned anything close to benefit of the doubt with our listeners who have seen his tweets, they've heard his takes, and so almost anything you attach Dom's name to is plausible.
So the irony of the situation with the Pirates is this. When we talked for weeks about the trade deadline, what could happen if they were stagnant, if they just were static. They didn't do anything. They kept their players. They did not give a sign or a message that they were serious about winning. Well, what happened to the Penguins when they got rid of Jake Guentzel? Here comes the tailspin. Here comes the team that looks around and says, management did not believe in us or didn't want to spend the money on us. We must not be that good. And tail goes between legs, mm-hmm. And team goes into a nosedive. Instead, the team did back up this squad.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they are performing like a team that wasn't happy with the deadline moves. This is, for me, Chris Archer deja vu. We didn't get Chris Archer. We got Brian De La Strike out and IKF. IKF hasn't been bad, but Brian De La Cruz has been the worst player of all the hitters who were acquired in the month of July, mm-hmm. to help teams win. He's the worst one. He has 14 strikeouts and 34 at-bats. It's like when Jack Sawinski left in his locker, he left a little envelope with instructions for Brian De La Cruz, and it was just telling him to do the job the same way that he did before he was jettisoned to AAA.
A 261 OPS.
In a 118 average, Chris.
It's incredible.
How many extra base hits? Do you have that number? Extra base
hits? Zero?
Zero, yeah. Yes. 0.0, like
yeah,
Blutarski.
IKF's been fine. His OPS was basically, when this guy put this chart up, about 100 or 800, which is right in the middle of the acquisitions, but it's still objectively good.
What's happened to
this
team?
De La Cruz stinks.
What's happened to them, Chris?
I can answer this.
Well, then I am going to sit in attention here and turn my headphone volume up and listen to what you're going to tell me about this team's complete collapse.
Yes, my biggest fear has been realized with this team, and because their starting pitching was pretty good and because they have shown some fight offensively at times, they've scored some runs, that you needed some other element here to rear its ugly head, and that would be their bullpen, specifically David Bednar, who has, I think, usurped Colin Holderman now as public enemy number one. But those guys are 1 and 2. One guy's, what was his name? What were those public enemy? John Dillinger? Give me another one. Capone, I guess.
He's not allowed to be public enemy number one, though. I have to correct you on that because he's from Mars.
No, he can be public enemy number one. He's allowed to be.
He's allowed to be yours, and he's allowed to be mine.
Oh.
But I'm telling you.
But I'm from Ross Township. We used to play Mars in sports.
Maybe you're rivals. Maybe that's all that you were always secretly looking for a reason to dislike David Bednar. I'm telling you, if we open up the phone lines, and I will do so right now, 412-928-9370, who do you blame for the demise of the Pirates? We will fill up 8 lines at 412-928-9370, and not a single person will say it's David Bednar's fault.
I disagree.
Even though he's blown 2 saves and should have won the game, got the lead in the top of the 10th and gave back 2 and took the loss, so it's not technically a blown save. Intern Dom, before you get your breakdancing going, get over there next to those phones and start screening those suckers. I will release the hounds right now. We will not take a single call between now and Camp Chronicles that says it's Bednar's
wrong.
Fault. But
I have
please
a lot
continue.
More faith in our listeners than you do to call it the way it is. But here's the real
412-928-9370.
Yes.
The floor is yours.
412-928-9370.
That's 928. Yes.
That's 928-9370, Malzy. Why aren't the lines lighting up anyway?
And they're all coming from Turtle Creek.
They're all, why are we very popular east of the city? All of our calls come from the east. We're great in Shadyside and in Irwin. No, here is, so you needed something like Bednar and the bullpen imploding the way they have routinely over the last, 10 days? It's been, can you count them for me? 3 Bednar implosions, right?
Yep.
2 more bare minimum Holderman. I know one is assisted by O'Neill Cruz being a bonehead. In the Houston game.
And Derek Shelton
knowing
how to manage a bullpen.
Okay,
but
like at least 2 Holdermans and probably 1 more, right?
There were 3.
3 Holdermans, 3 Bednars, and the 1 Holderman usurps the Chapman giving up a home run to Bell. Okay, so you've got 6 implosions. Now, what is the record, 56 and 60?
61.
61, yeah, I that's right, forgot. They should have won all 6 of those games. You do that, suddenly you are 62 and 55. You are
in the wild card spot.
You're
ahead of Atlanta and New York.
So it is easy to look at that reality, right? That it's 6 blown leads and your bullpen was supposed to be lights out and say, well, it's obviously the bullpen's fault. But here's what I think happened in the last 9 games. And it started really out west against Arizona, although they rallied respectably against Houston and played 3 really good games that should have been 3 wins instead of being 2.
And showed guts in the Sunday and Monday games against Arizona and Houston.
They've honestly shown some offensive guts in almost every one of these games.
I agree. I can't blame offensive futility other than Brian Dale strikeout.
They've shown some like legitimate fire and guts in all these games. McCutchen turned back the clock, but here's what it is. And this is not a sexy answer, but I think it is very obvious. They have run into, in all 3 of these cases, Arizona, San Diego, and of course LA, very good baseball teams. Teams that are pretty well built. And they are not a good baseball team, it is clear, and never really were.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
For one, they were a baseball team that was average on probably its best day with a couple of really good, really important parts, namely starting pitchers. And maybe one or two good, very good position players. Reynolds for sure. Cruz runs hot and cold. Joey Bart's probably their third best player. But this is what happens when a team that is built at least somewhat on a house of cards runs into really good baseball teams. Who do you think is the NL positional player war leader right now?
Is it Ketel Marte?
It is. He's overtaken Ohtani, technically, who counts as a position player this year. He's the best player in Arizona. And they have a bunch of guys behind him who are good. How many guys do the Padres have? They got Jackson Merrill, who single-handedly turned into Ohtani against the Pirates. They've got Manny Machado. They have
Luis Arraez.
They have Luis Arraez. They have dudes like Cronenworth that most of our listeners have probably
Fernando
heard of
Tatis
before.
Fernando Tatis Jr. when he's healthy.
Right.
I mean, they've got a squad.
They've got a squad. What do the Dodgers have? The best roster money can buy, by and large. They have the most electrifying player in the game and so on. The Pirates ran into three straight good baseball teams where they have very little margin for error, and they made the errors. And for me, that did nothing more than lay bare what they actually are, a team that needs significant work to really be a contender. And what has me concerned is they have a lot of the hard part done, starting pitching. I don't know if they're going to realize what happened here and take the necessary steps to make this team an actual good one next year. Well, it's within reach. Yes, I don't know if they see it that way.
Here would be my take on it. I get nervous whenever a team, I mean, it's one thing for fans to have fan favorites and sentimentality and all that. It's another thing when teams operate that way and don't want to hurt people's feelings, and they don't want to break up the fun bunch because everybody gets along with each other and everyone's happy showing up to work even though the results aren't there. I don't think they should have traded Bednar at this deadline. I think when you send that message that you're getting rid of a guy when you're in a playoff position, that's bad. But during the rebuilding process, when you were losing 100 games and he was at his best, he should have been traded then. That's not a second guess. That's not you or I saying things after the fact. That was in the moment when they were losing a lot of games,
we
saying, why do you need a guy who's so good in the ninth inning when you're only going to win 65 games?
We both said
so
it.
So he's you missed out on that. And my opinion is on that, I think the owner, I think the people up at the very, very top did not like the optics of a guy with multiple years on his contract who's from here getting traded. If David Bednar was from Boise, Idaho, I don't think he would still be on the Pirates roster.
If he was from Akron, would he still be from
the
Pirates?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. And then this also, I think this feeling, I think potentially trickles down to the decision they'll make if they finish in last place and they finish under 500 with their GM and manager. Now, I don't want it, to me, the nuclear option is getting rid of Charrington, because if you do that, what that I think basically does is you bring somebody else in and he might rip it down again, Chris. I don't have the stomach yet for a complete rebuild.
Has Ben Charrington done a good enough job, other than what you're saying right there? You don't have the stomach personally for it. Has he done a good enough job to keep his job?
I give him like a C.
I'd give him worse.
Okay, but
how many 1-1s has he had? He's had pair in 5 years, right? Five drafts, right? Off the top of my head, six, five or six.
He's
drafts.
Had Henry Davis and Skeen, so he's 1-for-2.
And the one that's good looks like it's even better than the one that's bad is bad. He's had a lot of high draft picks, though. You would agree. because they've been bad virtually his entire tenure.
Yeah.
What do they have to show for it other than, yes, the 1-1 pitcher is everything and more that you thought he would be. Jared Jones has been really good, and it looks like the decision to give Keller and even Reynolds long-term deals was
smart.
And
how about Bart? I mean, Bart was an absolute
find. I give him credit for that. We named five players, Pony.
I know, Chris.
That's not many.
I know he has not done a great job, and it's not like he's been given carte blanche to do what he
I would give him
wants.
A D. I think this is one of the rare times. I think you usually grade harsher than I do. I'd give him a D. I think he has done a very bad job.
My point is, I don't think you can bring them both back. I just don't think it's right for fans to try to sell them a bill of goods that those guys can do a job. Here is a stat for you on Shelton that if the Pirates finish in last place and finish below 500 and he remains Pirates manager, he will get a sixth year. If that happens, because he was hired before the COVID year 2020. If he remains their manager next year without having a winning season or getting them the playoffs or anything like that, he will become the fourth manager in the last 50 years to get more than 5 years with the Pirates. The other three guys on that list are Chuck Tanner, Jim Leland, and Clint Hurdle. I mean, come on, man. It's professional sports we're talking about. I get the Penguins have given Mike Sullivan all kind of runway. He's won two cups. Mike Tomlin, what do we always say about him? He's never had a losing season, even though he hasn't won a playoff series since 2000. Game since 2016.
In the context of this discussion, Tomlin might drive you crazy at times. You and everybody else, they are always relevant. That you can always squint and see certain things breaking their way where they're going to make a playoff run.
And it won't be all Shelton's fault because, again, look at the players he's been given and all that. But you have to at least provide a scapegoat or a pound of flesh when you go 5 years without producing a winning season. And it looks like this year might be more of the same. You won 76 games last year. What are you right now, a 77-78 win team? That's not enough progress. But I'm telling you right now, we're going to go to the phones at 412-928-9370 when we come back. I will be shocked if anybody blames Bednar. Five out, five games under in last place. And he's saying the goals still remain the same, thinks they can get to October. Mark Cabali, done at The Athletic. He joins us at 4:15 today. Day 15 of Steelers training camp in La Trobe this morning. We have boots on the ground. We will check in there. In a few minutes, Donnie has a live show at Dino's tonight. So if you are in the Steelers training camp area, in the area code, get over and check out Donnie from 6 to about 8:30 tonight as he hangs out. And I think he's going to do a bunch of wing challenges and stuff there.
Is he really?
Yeah.
As long as the wing challenges involve sweet and hot at Dino's, I think Donnie's going to put them all away.
He is like a pig in crap over there tonight. The Pirates have just been crap. 412-928-9370. Let's get to your thoughts here. Here is Ted and Moon. Hello, Ted.
I personally think that Bednar is injured, but the bigger problem is the coach.
See, there you go, Chris.
Staff.
Right off the bat, an excuse form gets made right from the very beginning. It can't be Bednar on his own sucking. It's got to be something that the Pirates either injury-wise haven't correctly identified or they're forcing him to pitch through.
Why do you think he's hurt, Ted?
The errors are unbearable. The errors are terrible. Like, G1 Bay
and just
right
move to the next thing.
Night.
People can't blame Bednar, Chris.
Well, Ted, you and I could find some common ground here. Forget about your Bednar take on the fact that G1 Bay is not an actual baseball player. He's a guy they think should be one because he's a good athlete.
Well, he did have a couple hits yesterday, Mulsey. They were ecstatic on the broadcast.
I don't care.
That.
He sucks so bad. You ever read Family Circus when you were a kid? They'd have little Jeffy's dotted line as he went all over the yard. They should do one of those for a G1 Bay route to a fly ball.
Yeah, not good early in that game yesterday.
Who hit the one that he took a route like somewhere east of Las Vegas to try to get to and turned what should have been a pretty... I thought Kevin Young, to his credit, did a good job calling it out and just said that's a ball he should catch. It was a pretty routine, if deep, fly ball that he turned into a double.
Here sucks. Here's Daryl on the fan. Hello, Daryl.
Hi, guys. Well, hey, I'm going to shock you, Andrew. I am going to blame poop the Bednar or crap the Bednar. I hope I can say that on the radio.
Yes, you're not getting dumped. Everyone in our audience is hearing you make bowel movement puns with the Pirates closer, Daryl.
Okay. They lost 7 of 9.
7 in a row and 9 of 10.
The closers... job is to come in the ninth inning and close, and the good closers come in, they get strikeouts, they get ground outs, they go. This guy has been by the seat of his pants for quite some time now. I don't even know. Some of them was a miracle he even got a save. And despite our crappy defense, and there's a lot of holes on this team.
He's throwing
honest.
Hittable pitches. He's
but
throwing
if he pitches like an all-star, at the very least, you turn those three losses into wins, and they are
59 and 58,
and,
hanging in there.
And they're like a game and a half out of a playoff
They're very
spot.
Much hanging in there still.
If he does his job, and I view Bednar, I want to view him like I view Reynolds or, well, I guess there's many. Not Skeens. Skeens is in a whole different category.
Although you seem to have ruined him, too. Another Pony Jinx tweet. This one brought to our attention. This is it's taken off from just being something on the show that we bust your chops about now to people who cover for the Pirates for a living are taking this seriously as a problem. Noah Hiles texts us both yesterday. He sent the screenshot of your tweet. I've made eye contact with Skeens a couple of times when he's come off the mound. I think he appreciates the moral. You wrote morale. I won't harp on that too much. The moral support.
I agree. I think he did.
He said, I would just like to point out that the Pirates have not won a game since this tweet was posted on August 4th. So now beat writers are even examining your tweets as to whether or not they could be legitimate reasons for the team's losing
streak. All
right,
so now my fault, not Bednar's. Here is Conrad next. Hello, Conrad.
Here's the thing is the bullpen been leaky all season and nobody wants to cop to it. And at the trade deadline, I knew for weeks that they were going to go find some middle-of-the-mall bats to try to supplement a weak offensive roster already. And that's exactly what they did. So you can't blame the rest of the team for not being jazzed up when they brought in two bats that are as mediocre as the rest of the bats
Connor
that were already in the lineup.
Connor Falefa's objectively been good this year, and since they got him, he's been good. Here's the thing with De La Cruz. I said it when they got him. I think most people understood it. It's not like an earth-shattering take. The guy is all home runs and doubles and virtually nothing else. And if he's not hitting both of those with some regularity, he's useless offensively. Bad news. Brian De La Cruz, no doubles, no home runs, no nothing.
Hernandez in L.A. was the only guy, the only outfielder in the NL with more home runs than him when the Pirates acquired him. So, you know, given what they gave up in the years of control, I'm still not going to say that was a bad trade. It hasn't worked yet. But, I mean, if you're saying he understands why the guys weren't jazzed up, what, they would prefer to just keep running G1
no.
Bay and the likes
no,
of
Michael
Taylor out there?
I don't agree with the idea that the guys weren't jazzed up on the
IKF's
inside.
IKF's war was the same as friggin' Reynolds when they acquired
him. And IKF's
him.
Been good. By and large, he's been very good, actually, at times. I'm just saying
again,
that
someone
that
else can't say Bednar. It's not Bednar's fault. Eh, we can't blame Bednar.
1 for 3 callers have blamed Bednar. You know what?
We're about to be 1 for 4 because Donald's not going to blame him either. Hello,
you're
Donald.
You're in the Hall of Fame at 1 for 3, Pony.
About to be one for four. Donald, is it Bednar's fault?
It is Bednar's fault, Pony.
Damn
it. So, I'll tell you that. Hey, Pony. Hey, Moldy.
No, I
honestly agree. I don't think he is the problem, but he's definitely a problem. And Donnie will agree. Football. I know Donnie's not in today, but we love ourselves a hefty boy around here and Pittsburgh boys around here. And so that's why he doesn't catch flack. And I forget who it was. It was either Walker. It was one of the analysts that were on radio. Anyways, he's throwing 97, 98, which is fine. But if you're throwing it down the middle, these hitters now are going to time it. Like, if you're throwing 97, 98, that's not really special anymore. And so we still think it is. He's got to paint the corners, and he's just not. But the usage of him, too, is a problem to me because it almost feels like Shelton, and again, this is more a Bednar problem than a Shelton problem, but it feels like Shelton's trying to run these guys out there in high-leverage situations and trying to have them find themselves. Now, whether that's coming from the top or not,
I think that's coming from Shelton. I think that's his MO. That's how he's managed. He's been a good vibes manager his whole career because they've had usually very poor teams. I also think that's a good point, frankly, about 97 or 98 is not that special anymore if it catches a lot of the plate. You need to have either one of two things. You need to have 101 as a closer or Mason Miller fastball, or you need to have a pitch that's basically unhittable.
Like Melanson's cutter.
Melanson's cutter, Rivera's cutter, Hoffman's changeup. If your fastball is like 96 or 97 and that's your out pitch, I'm sorry, you're going to get hit.
I applauded Shelton for bringing him out there for a second inning because it showed urgency. Like, we got to win this game, and
something
I'm not going to trust
did
somebody
with Chapman.
Else. Yeah, that's it should also be applied to Chapman. But I like that he tried to use his closer to get a second inning given the other options in the bullpen. It just, the guy has not been good enough this year. And If you're going to be a great closer, once in a while, you got to get more than three outs. You want to really be considered an all-star or elite at your job in those got-to-have-it situations. The team gives you the lead in the top half of the 10th. Go out there and shove. And he couldn't do that. And by the way, I understand the Dodgers. We think that they're awesome. They're in first place. And they do have Ohtani. They do have Hernandez.
They had to hit the skids before the Pirates saw them.
But they also, when you look at their lineup, after the first three or four guys, there's a lot of OPSs in the 600s,
Aren't they still putting Chris Taylor out there most days?
They played Kiermaier the whole entire series. So,
they even got to Skeens, though. That's just more proof you jinxed them. They even got to him.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia. South Hills, do I have this here? South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Yes, I do. Thank you, Intern Dom.
It's time for another chapter in the PM Team's Camp Chronicles.
I love this Chronicles music, man.
Time is running thin. Mm. Time is running out on Camp Chronicles. Day 15. Practice this morning. Practice tomorrow. Practice Wednesday. And then, so long, St. Vincent. We're out.
What's that instrument to make those little clicking noises? What's that called? That's not a xylophone. It's like the cups almost or something.
Dom, you are musically inclined at Shaler.
Like clackers, I think they're called, right?
Oh, yes, the clacker.
A good old set of clackers that they got.
What was your percussion instrument of choice? Oh, I was a clacker guy.
Played the clackers. You said nobody's clacked quite like me.
Camp Chronicles. The big chronicle today was Mark Cabali being done at The Athletic, and he will join us at 4:15. More insight into what's next for him, our Steelers insider. Richie Walsh was there today, was also on the broadcast of the preseason game. And let's get an update from Richie on what went down today at practice. Richie, who got most of the work with the first team offense, Russell Wilson or Justin Fields?
It was kind of split. I felt like Fields got more of the work here today than Russell Wilson. But I definitely expect Russell Wilson to play in the second preseason game. He even said at the pump in the booth that Art Rooney did, that they think Russell Wilson. But when asked today, Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin, they didn't really decisively give us an answer that Wilson would play on Saturday against the Bills. But
why,
I fully expect him to play
think...
a couple series.
Richie, if Wilson is now pretty much healthy, I get in the preseason games not playing him that much. But why is he not now getting the exclusive first-team reps in practice the way that, say, Mitch Trubisky did when he was competing with Kenny Pickett for the job?
Maybe it's a different approach. It's a really good question, and maybe I'll ask that up here, why they're splitting him pretty evenly. He's healthy. Wilson says he's healthy. He's going to play. And I don't think there's a quarterback competition. I've been up here a lot. I don't know if you think there is one, but I think this is similar to the Trubisky situation. You know, maybe they just want to get a better idea. I think this
Fields isn't under contract for next year. Do you think they want to try to get a long look at him so they can try to figure out a deal before the season starts that they might be comfortable with?
That's what I was kind of getting into. And I know they like things that what Justin Fields does. I mean, he does things that Russell Wilson can't do. And I think they were pretty impressed with him other than the quarterback center exchange during the game. You know, they liked what he did on Friday against the Texans. But I'm guessing it's just a different approach. And you need to get a good look at this guy, especially if he's not going to play much in the regular season. And I don't anticipate Fields playing a lot. Maybe they'll have packages for him. But I don't anticipate him playing a lot because I think this is Russell Wilson's job. And unless he gets hurt, Russell Wilson is QB1.
Per Jerry Dulac, we also know another job that's been sewn up. Troy Fautanu is going to be the day one right tackle, even though he's going to be on the shelf for maybe a week or two. How much has he impressed people up there, Richie? Obviously, it's enough to get that job, but what have you seen from him and what have you heard people say about him?
Well, I don't know if he's going to be a day one starter. I don't like to go against Jerry on some of those things, but I think it's going to be Broderick Jones on the right side and Dan Moore on the left side. I think that's what they're trending in that direction. But they definitely want to rotate Fautanu, who's been a backup in both spots. And you saw Broderick Jones played more than any other starter, right, in that first preseason game. He played into the third quarter. I was sitting there with Chris Hoke and I were talking about it. We were wondering why he was playing so much.
He played 42 snaps, which was tied with Kyle Allen and Spencer Anderson for the most in the game, period, Richie. How about that?
Yeah, they want to see him at left tackle. But, you know, this injury right now, I don't expect Fautanu to be out more than a couple weeks, and he'll probably be ready for the first first game if he plays. But I still think it's going to be Roderick Jones on the right side and Dan Moore Jr. on the left side. Unless Dan Moore does something that makes him lose that job or an injury or something like that.
Richie, camp is winding down. You've been there most, if not all, days. Richie Walsh, who is your 2024 Steelers training camp MVP?
You know, I have to go with, I know a lot of people are going to have different players here. For me, some people might go with Fields or might go with some of the other guys. But for me, it's 41, Peyton Wilson. I love the fact he has a Sidney Crosby work ethic. The guy's the first one out here, one of the last ones to leave. He is a football junkie.
Is he a real lunch pail guy?
Would you say he's a lunch pail guy?
Okay.
Does he come with a hard hat?
No, he doesn't. But that's how I would describe this guy.
Would you say he has a nonstop motor?
Nonstop motor. And, you know, I remember talking to you guys last year where I thought Keanu Benton was my most impressive rookie. Well, for me, it's Wilson this year.
Who's your least impressive player at camp? Would you feel comfortable saying
who is your LVP?
Yeah, just guy is an absolute LVP.
Who is showing LVP penis qualities?
I feel comfortable saying that, but I can't really think of anyone that I would put into that category right now. I would say the guys that haven't been out here. I mean, we just got a first look at Cordarrelle Patterson yesterday, so I don't know. You kind of throw me off.
The segment here, okay, I'll give you another one, Richie. The segment here is called Camp Chronicles. Chronicles, just another word for stories or whatever. The biggest chronicle or story, in your opinion, the most significant thing that has happened overall at camp?
Well, I always go with the big stories, right? And the big story right now is the quarterback position or maybe the number two wide receiver position. Maybe the most disappointing chronicle, I would say, is Roman Wilson getting hurt. We didn't even have a chance to see if he would be the number two guy. But Van Jefferson out here, that's another guy that's kind of impressed me. I put him in the category with the Peyton Wilson. I mean, he's out here catching 300 balls every day after practice. Did it again today. I've seen him miss a couple, but he's gotten a lot better. He's taking that Antonio Brown routine. But the biggest storyline, definitely, it has to be the quarterback situation and the fact that now Russell Wilson got hurt, pushing a sled, wasn't out there for the first week and a half. Then he ramped it up a little bit, did more work last week, and now they're kind of splitting series. And, you know, I think there's some people up here that think there is a quarterback competition. I don't right now. I think they have to go with Wilson first because you can't really go with Fields first and then put Wilson in, I would think. So, but I think we go back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, that they want to give Fields an extended look because – they got to figure out a contract situation with one of these guys next year. They need one of these guys under contract for next year.
Richie Walsh, check him out. Channel 2, Saturday night for the Steelers and Bills. He'll have post-game coverage with Chris Hoak. Thank you, Richie.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you.
Yep. All right. Coming up next, what were your first impressions of Justin Fields? There was a see-it-live take of mine, and then there was a watch-it-back take. Justin Fields, and they're not the same thing.
Two separate takes?
Yes.
Two takes for one player?
Yep.
Is your brain playing tricks on you?
I've changed my mind.
Which take is weighing heavier?
You'll find out next. Quick timeout, then a long commercial-free segment. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Low of 56. Dom put 3 exclamation points next to that low. Why? What was the...
That's like fall weather starting to pick up a little bit.
Low of 56. You're liking it.
Yeah, I am.
Donnie would say that there's a certain crispiness to the air.
There is a certain crispiness in the air.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.